We're doing the Doshot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Chaf Zayin in the Machon Shalem edition, page Reish Tzadi Gimel in the Mosada of Kuk edition. And I think, says the Ran, that this concept that we've been discussing about spirituality going beyond one person, that when one person gets elevated, so it can affect the people that are in his vicinity. So that's the way it worked with Elisha and Eliyahu. The verse tells us, they were passing. Eliyahu says to Elisha, Shalma eselach, ask me, what do you want me to do on your behalf? Before I'm taken from you. So Eliyahu asks Elisha, what's your final wish? I'm about to go. Elisha says to Eliyahu, Elisha says, I want double your spirit. I want to be double you. So Eliyahu says, boy, you asked for a tough thing. If you witness, if you can see me as I am being taken from you, then your wish will be granted. And if you do not merit to see me as I am whisked away, then it will not come true. And then it says, chariots of fire came swooping and took Eliyahu to the heavens, and Elisha saw him, and he ran after him, and yelled, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And then the Navi continues and describes how the prophecy of Eliyahu came true, how Elisha doubled every one of Eliyahu's miracles. He resurrected two people from the dead. Every step of the way, he does double Eliyahu. So what's going on here, if you look at the text, and you take the simple understanding, Sheshiv Eliyahu le'Elisha hikshita lish'ol. Eliyahu tells Elisha, you know, you asked something very difficult. Ki achrei she'ata alul mimeni, being that you want to be influenced by me. You want to get my spirituality. U'mushpa b'emtzauti, so you want to be affected by me. If how do you expect me to influence you beyond what I can influence myself? You don't find someone being influenced to a greater degree than the one applying the influence, right? If you think of pool, right? You shoot the white ball and it hits the other ball. So now that it's going to bang the other ball, so each one weakens. By the impact is weaker. The effect is weaker. So Eliyahu says, you want me to influence you what I can't even do for myself? Aval bat, says Eliyahu, in tireh oti lukach meitach, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, shetiyeh sham be'et sheimashech ha-shefa alai yoter mima shehu nimshach hayom, if you stand next to me at that time when God impacts me to a greater degree than he's impacted me till today. That happens when Eliyahu is being taken from Elisha. What's happening when the Navi says Eliyahu is whisked away by chariots of fire? That's the idea? Or is the Navi describing to us that Eliyahu is being elevated tenfold? He's being elevated from where he was in the physical world. The Navi is describing how Eliyahu went from being human to becoming an angel. Eliyahu tells Elisha, you know what? I'm about to transform from the physical world to the spiritual world. You asked me for something which I obviously can't give you right now. But there will be a moment when I get a much greater level of spirituality. And if at that time you could stick with me, so then you will be able to have a greater level of spirituality. You will have that spirituality that descends upon me will be able to affect you as well. Then you will get what you asked for. You'll get double what I am today. Because at that moment, when I become tenfold what I was, then in fact you can get more than I am now. And if you do not witness it, if you don't stand by me at that time, then it won't come true. Because You can't outdo me. I can't impart upon you what I don't yet have. The only way it could happen is if you're with me when I actually do get that abundance. Because then, being that you'll be an adjunct to me, you'll be adjacent to me, so then you will be a partner and you will be affected by that abundance. And then, and this is the concept that the Ran had been pushing this whole speech, that a person can grow beyond his capacity. A person has his capacity, but when he is next to someone who is greater, then he can grow even beyond his natural capacity. And that's what he had explained earlier, why Hashem calls out Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam in unison. Because Aaron and Miriam do not have the capacity to get prophecy at that moment, but standing next to Moshe, so then they will be affected when he gets the prophetic vision. And this is also the reason that prophecy and wisdom weakens generation after generation, as I explained earlier. Yes?
It's written here, and a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and separate between the two of them, and Elijah ascend to the heaven in the whirlwind. So he go with the chariots or with the whirlwind?
Well, I think that the verse says that he ascended to heaven. The simple reading is with the chariots, basara, and the chariots went up with him in a whirlwind, meaning there was a whirlwind around him as he ascended to heaven in these chariots of fire.
Who ascended?
Elio.
The wind lifts up.
I don't think any of that's literal, but that's the literal understanding of the pasuk.
I used to have a recurring dream when I was a kid of flying up to the skies in a whirlwind.
I guess that shows what great potential you have.
It could be literal. It's could magical. Be. Probably not.
Maybe because it came to you in a dream, they were telling you where you should be going spiritually.
Why is this?
So I hear your point, and I'm not sure. I think he's asking, is prayer limited to your capacity? Couldn't Elio have prayed that Elisha would become 10 times? So what? So Elio doesn't have it. Is he really giving him something that's his own? Or is he praying that Elisha should attain a certain height? So why is Elio limited with his prayer? And I think the question is a very good one. In all honesty, I think that the Ran is using his reasoning in the question as well. Meaning, if the Ran had understood that this was an issue of prayer, so then I think you're right. So then you could pray for anything. You could pray that your next door neighbor will become a huge Talmud Chacham, much greater than you are yourself. There's no limit to what you pray for. But I think that the Ran understood the verse when Elio asks Elisha, what can I do for you? It's not that Elio is asking Elisha, what do you want me to pray for? And when Elisha says, I want to be double you, I don't think the Ran understood that to mean that Elisha was saying, go pray to God that I should get double what you have. I think the Ran understood that on some level Elisha was asking that double the spirit of Elio should land on him. Now, in order to understand that, we have to understand another concept. let's use a metaphor, and then let's apply it to prophecy. V'yira'eli od. That's where we're at. Imagine a person sets up a radio, and he fiddles around and finds the right channel. If the station doesn't emit the signal, he could be sitting on that channel his whole life. He's not going to hear anything, right? So there's the recipient getting to the channel, and then there's the station emitting the signal, right? Okay. So in prophecy, it works the same way. A person can spend his whole life being on the right channel. He works and he elevates himself and he's ready for prophecy. But from heaven, they don't give him a channel. They're not giving a signal. So he spends his whole life waiting, and maybe he'll get one prophecy. We have a prophet who got two verses in Tanakh. Okay? Two verses he said, and that's it. Shortest prophecy in Tanakh. You have prophets who got one, two, three, four. You have prophets who had many, like Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu. You had prophets who had none. So they never got prophecy.
Wait, what?
And what?
How do you be a prophet?
So that the Ran will discuss, the idea of mitnab'im, which the Ran will explain, means they prepare themselves. They're standing here on channel, and there's never any there's never any anything in the airwaves meant for them.
Wait, so how do you know they're real? Like, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't Rambam explain that when you reach a certain level, it just occurs as almost a naturalistic
No. thing? No. When the Rambam exactly does not say that.
He says, like, when you do certain things, when you train your mind and you keep a certain level of bodily purity and you work on it, it'll happen at, like, just as a matter of course. When you reach a certain, you'll become it's like you can't even control it anymore at that point.
Okay.
Doesn't that make sense? I think we had this discussion like a year and a half ago. I think
we should look at the Rambam again inside. So, what's Elisha asking Elio? He's asking him, give me a higher channel. But Elisha has to do that. Elio can't make Elisha greater. If Elisha's talking about his own channel, if he's talking about his own preparations, so then that's not something Elio could grant him. So then what's he asking Elio for? To have a greater transmission from heaven? So you could understand that Elio should pray for it. And I think the Ran understood it to mean that Elio should impart onto Elisha part of what he himself has. Elisha's asking him, I want part of what you have. So then the Ran says, well, Elio doesn't have that. Elio doesn't have double himself, so then what's Elisha asking for? And that's where the Ran says, yes, but Elio was about to shoot upward. And Elisha said, give me part of that. Let me stick with you on part of that. I'm using simplistic terms for spiritual concepts, and at the end of the day, in all honesty, I don't know what I'm talking about. Meaning, we are speaking about something that we don't understand. We don't know what it means that spirituality descends on a person, what it means that Elio becomes an angel. So we're using physical terms to describe spiritual concepts, and then we're trying to make sense of it.
He became an angel.
He says that, yeah. So I want to give this disclaimer that I think this is how the Ran understood it. But I think that I don't fully understand what the Ran's saying. I'm explaining it as best as I understand what he's trying to say, but at the end of the day, these are concepts I don't really know what they mean. Yeah?
Maybe I can explain it well if I get it right, which I may not, but it sounded like you're saying that Elisha needed twice as much as the great Eliyahu had in order to be able to receive whatever from the source. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't think so.
Maybe that's all wrong. But the question would even confuse things further when you say Eliyahu became an angel. Doesn't it say that he never died?
Right.
So what does it mean if he was he wasn't hiding some cave? I mean, I don't think if he left this world and became manifested itself as an angel,
if that isn't a form of, well, what does death mean then? I mean, nobody dies in the sense that hopefully they become a rock. So, you know, they hit some sort of level. So it's odd that, you know, they would say that at the same time he, you know, was shot up to another level of existence and transformed into an angel, which is even more complicated, because an angel is not what we associate, as far as I know, human beings becoming in what's called the Lama Ba, talk about not knowing what we're talking about.
At least once, right? So.
Yeah, it just seems more confusing than ever. It's hard to understand it.
So if we take a minute to read what the Ran said, in truth, the Ran said a very unusual line, which really needs work. The Ran said that Eliyahu's soul and body became like an angel. What does that mean, the body became like an angel? He seems to say, what the verses also seem to indicate, that his body didn't remain behind. It's not that he dropped dead, like you're accurately pointing out, and his soul went up by these chariots of fire. No, his body went up too. So now, what does that mean, that his body and soul became... He doesn't even say like an angel, he says like Malachei Asharet, which is a specific type of angel. Again, we're dealing with terms that we don't exactly understand.
And you're trying to teach advanced calculus to the people at least here who are in basic arithmetic. And even in the advanced calculus classes, you said you're dealing with terms, even if people have been studying this for years and years, where there's a lot of speculation, seemingly.
Yeah, but we're entering a broad discussion, really, of angels having physical form or not having physical form. What does it mean that the prophet says Elio is still coming back?
Can a person transform into an angel? That's also...
I don't know why that should bother us.
Well, I mean, you know, we hope that human beings are greater, we're told, because we have the ability to not be instinctive and not only do God's will, which makes us great. It would seem, even though it's used as a nice thing, it's better to be a person than an angel.
In that regard, but Chazal seemed to teach us that Elio also has that. All kinds of gemaras about Elio showing up to people, and certainly sounds like Elio has a lot to say. And it certainly sounds like Elio has a certain element of Bchira Chofshit, as do angels. So, again...
If an angel is God's will, what in the world is... What is he going to do otherwise?